chapter of the book of Philippians, there's two verses that I want to at least give you my interpretation of here this evening. I believe it's a sound interpretation. And the first of these two verses is found in the second chapter of the book of Philippians. And the fourth verse, I want to talk to you just a little bit about that, and then we'll talk about another verse. Philippians chapter 2, in verse number... Well, let me begin reading at verse number 1 of the second chapter and read through to about the sixth verse. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now the verse that I want to call your attention to is that fourth verse that says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And the same thought is projected there in the third verse, that says, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now, this is contrary to the natural mind. John reminded us of our hostility and our depravity yesterday in our, or Sunday in our natural state. Now, the grace of God is contrary to the natural mind or the natural tendencies. And certainly, as we read this, we can understand that it's contrary to our natural evil selves. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Now, it takes the grace of God for that to be accomplished. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, I think that, and I'll talk about preachers first, and then I'll talk about parishioners second. The failure of most preachers is traced not to the fact that they don't have a pastor's head and a pastor's voice and the energy of the pastor. That's not the reason why they are unsuccessful. But they don't have a pastor's heart. Now, if a man's ever going to be a pastor, a preacher, he's got to have a pastor's heart. That's all they are to it. Regardless of how much he's got up here, if he doesn't have something down here by way of feeling and concern and understanding, he'll never make it. He won't be successful in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. He's got to have a pastor's heart. Now, that's my observation. The failure of most preachers is traced not to the fact that they do not have a pastor's head, a pastor's voice, and the energy of the pastor, but they don't have a pastor's heart. Now, the failure of most church members and professing Christians in that they are not a blessing to others, in that they are not a blessing to their own family and their own friends and outsiders whom they come in contact with day by day, is not because they do not have the proper doctrine. That's not it. It's not because they do not have proper moral integrity and enthusiasm for the truth as in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's not it. The truth is, they don't have the proper attitude and love and concern for others as they ought to. Now, that's the reason they're not successful. Now, this verse that I read to you says that we ought to be concerned about saints and sinners alike. That's what it's saying. Not so much being concerned only about self. So many of us are concerned about our little world. That little world that we live in, that we've got walls of tradition and places of refuge built around us. We're concerned about me and mine. We're not concerned about others. We're not concerned about their feelings. We can say anything. Just cut people right and left. We're not concerned. Well, if that's our case, we're not concerned. We don't love saints and sinners alike. We haven't got the heart of a true Christian. That's the reason we're unsuccessful right there. You can mark it down. If you don't really love people, saints and sinners alike, they sense it. They know it. I know when people don't like me, don't you? I can tell it. People avoid me. They'll avoid me. I know folks that attended this church that avoid me even now. And they do so because they don't like me, and I sense it. I sense it. And you can too. You can sense when people don't like you. You can't fool people. You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. I don't know who said that, but that's true. All right. If you really don't love people, saints and sinners alike, they sense it. And they not only won't love you, but they won't listen to you. They won't listen to you. You can talk to you blue in the face, but they won't pay no attention to you. Won't listen to you. If you're not really concerned about the everyday problems and the burdens of others, they don't want to hear you talk about spiritual problems. If you're not concerned about them and their children and their needs and their jobs and their problems, they don't want you come around trying to answer their questions in regard to spiritual problems. They won't listen to you. They won't listen. If you're not concerned about one part of their being, they don't want you to be concerned about the other part. They won't listen to you. Now, most fundamental, separated religionists that I know have a big head and a big mouth and a small heart. They got a big head, a big mouth, but they got a little heart. They can't love. They can't be concerned about anybody but themselves. They live unto themselves, and if they continue in this state, they're going to die unto themselves. Now listen. They want to talk about the things of the Lord, these so-called fundamental, separated, sanctified, holier-than-thou, big-headed, big-mouth, little-heart religionists. They want to talk about the things of the Lord. but they have little love and little concern about the needs and the care of others. So, if that's our case, if that's my case, if that's your case, don't blame all your isolation or your loneliness on the gospel. Making a mistake when you do. Much of it is caused by my unlovely personality and your unlovely personality. That's involved in that verse. And by the way, that's practical Christianity. That's what it is. Now, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And I want to read another verse to you. Matthew chapter 26. Or Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22. Let me read both those verses, 22 and 23. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now I think I know what that means, and I want to kind of pass it along to you here for your instruction and edification and for your help here this evening. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single or be sound, that's what it means. If thine eye be single, sound, if your eye be sound, then the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, unsound, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, I refer to all of us, my whole physical being responds and acts according to what I see with my natural eye. The information comes through the eye and is transported to every nerve, emotion, and faculty, and I act accordingly. That which I see with the physical eye. I act according to what I see. It all registers, but it comes through that eye, and I act accordingly. Now, this is also true of my spiritual life. I'm talking about, first off, about our physical, right, in the physical realm, but what's true in the physical is true in the spiritual. What I see or understand from the Word of God and the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, my attitude, my actions, my hope, and all the motivations that's in me, that comes from what I gather from preaching, what I gather from study, from what I know of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this, what I know motivates me to act accordingly. If a man is a stranger to the Word of God, he'll become a religionist, and that's all. And that's one reason why I guess that throughout the Bible, it talks about the Word of God being a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. The Bible says that we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And it goes on and on and on and on in regard to the study of the Bible. Search the Scriptures wherein ye think they have eternal life. But they are they which testify of me. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. Search the Bible as a man searches for silver and gold, and God will give him and grant unto him the desires of his heart in regard to wisdom and understanding and so forth. So it's true, then, of my spiritual life, what I see or understand from the Word of God and the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the preaching I hear, motivates my thinking, my attitude, my actions, and everything else. Now, if this I of understanding, here's the truth that I want you to get at. If this eye of understanding is sound and truly taught of God Almighty, my whole being will be full of light and truth. My spiritual life will be lived for the glory of God. If my eye be sound, if it be sound, my life will be lived for the glory of God. I'll know something about the rule and the government of God. I'll know something about the discipline of God. I'll know something about submitting myself to God Almighty. I read here recently where a fella, surely this fella, he must have understood some things that maybe I don't understand. Said this fellow was off to war. And he'd lost his arm, lost his left arm in the war, fighting the enemy. And when he came back home, some of his family and kinsmen and dear friends gathered around to sympathize with him because of the loss of his left arm. And he said, "Praise God with me that I still got my right arm." If we understand, if this eye be single, if it be single and not full of darkness, and if it be sound, our spiritual life will be lived for the glory of God. But if my eye of understanding is unsound and full of error, my religious being will be full of darkness. I won't be able to see. And if what I call light is darkness, Jesus said, how great is that darkness? Now, in other words, it's double darkness. It's double darkness. That's the reason that a man with no religion at all is easier to preach the gospel of God's grace to than the religionist. Now, I know that the heathen is in darkness. Now, any man outside of the Lord Jesus Christ is a heathen. He's a heathen through and through, and he doesn't like that, and he won't accept it because his proud heart rebels against the truth. And you tell him he's a heathen, and he's likely to maybe smack you. He'll fight you if you call him a heathen. I don't care how good a husband he is. I don't care if he brings his pay home to you and gives to his wife and buys the children clothes and takes them on vacations and all that. If he's outside of Christ, he's a heathen. And that's hard, isn't it? That's hard to take. But that's what he is. He's a heathen. Now, I know that the heathen is in darkness, but the religionist, that's who I'm talking about, the religionist is hedged about with a darkness that surrounds his natural darkness. So he's in double darkness. The unsaved, the heathen, he's in total darkness. But the religionist, who is also a heathen, has a natural darkness about him, surrounds himself with his religion, and therefore he is in total darkness, a double darkness. Now, he's built up a false righteousness and a false idea of God, which has to be destroyed even before you can attack his natural unbelief. You see, he's built up this around him. His It's all described right here. The light of the body is in the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, be sound. If your eye be sound, your whole spiritual being's gonna be sound. The whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, be unsound, then the whole body shall be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that double darkness? So this man, you see, he surrounds himself with a false righteousness and a false idea of God. He's dead, but he thinks he's alive. He's a religionist. You can't tell him he's dead in trespasses and in sins. He doesn't believe it. He thinks he's alive, but actually he's dead. He's dead while he lives. He thinks that he has a righteousness, but he hasn't got a right. He hasn't got anything. He hasn't got any clothing on at all. But he thinks he's well dressed. He thinks that the armor that he wears will afford him the commendation of God Almighty. He's living in a refuge of lies. He has himself surrounded with these things, and it's hard to, you see, before you can. Get to his natural unbelief, you got to tear away all these other things. Great is the darkness. You got to tear them away. And that's the reason it's so difficult to preach to a religionist, a man that's trusting in his moral integrity, or a man that's trusting in his genuineness, his consistency, his sincerity. His moral goodness. It's hard to preach to him. Hard to preach to him because he thinks he's all right. You see, and that's what I'm trying. That's what I'm trying to get us to see here. He thinks he's all right. He's in double darkness. See, and all of these things have got to be. You've got to take a stick and break them before you can get down to his natural depravity, to his natural unbelief. He's twice as bad as the heathen. You don't have no problem talking to an out and out drunkard or old bum that's down on his luck and hadn't got any job and his family's kicked him out and he doesn't know where he's going to get the next meal from, or he doesn't know where he's going to sleep tonight. You don't have no problem talking to him. He'll admit to you real quick that, yes, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. You know, he may not understand the implications and the ramifications that the Bible has to say about a sinner, but he knows that he's wrong. And to some measure, he's sorry for what he's done. But you take a religionist, you can't get him to admit that. No, he surrounded himself with a false peace. He's all right. So you've got to destroy that false peace before you can get down to his natural unbelief. So the religionist then, he sits in the darkness of his castle and the refuge of lies, surrounded by the walls of false peace and decisionism, religious works and what have you, and no light under God's heaven will dispel his darkness of nature until the light of the grace of God reduces his nothingness and his false religion and just kind of disintegrates him and destroys him. Nothing's going to help him. But when the light of God shines down into his dark, dreary, desolate, poor, ungodly heart, and he sees himself, as undone. And then and only then will he cry out. But you see, that all that's got to be, all this religion and all that false peace and false hope, that's got to be dealt with before you can ever get down there to where he is. So, the light of the body is in the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, if your eye sound, then the whole body is full of life. You see, if the eye is sound, you're a product of what you hear. See, you're a product of what you hear. If you've heard the truth, if you've heard the truth, and you've come to respect it and to revere it and to love it, and you've submitted yourself to the discipline of the Lord Jesus, and He's Lord and He's Master of your life, and you've learned to some measure to be content, whatever state you're in, you've learned that. Well, then the person, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ will motivate you. See? And you'll live your spiritual life to the glory of God. It'll be for God's glory. But if your eye be evil, that's unsound, then the whole body's unsound, see? And you live in a double darkness. And the most that we know today that you and I have anything to do with, that is in the world, religious people, most of them, we have anything to do with these religious people, they're in double darkness. Double darkness. Oh, it behooves every one of us to cry out unto God for these that we're concerned about. We ought to be concerned about people. Be concerned about them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Get the opportunity to talk to them. They're going to hell unless God intervenes. And who knows who the elect of God are? I don't know. I don't know. Neither do you. We got to preach the gospel to everybody. The Lord will call out His own. He'll call out His elect. Let's be faithful in our responsibility unto God and our responsibility as Christians. Let's be concerned about people. Let's not only go around and try to correct them in their spiritual problem. He won't listen to you. He won't listen to you. If you're not concerned about his family and his job and his sore finger or his wife being in the hospital, don't you go over there and try to tell him, try to correct him in his spiritual problem. He won't listen to you. If you're not concerned about one aspect of him, he won't listen to you when you start talking to him about spiritual things. He won't listen to you. It takes a long time to build up the respect of an individual. You know that? It takes a long time for him to respect you. Listen to you. You just jump right in there, and like some people do, they'll jump in places where angels fear to trod. Jump in and thrash around, don't know what they're doing. Tear more down and build up in 20 years. Be concerned about people, saints and sinners. Jesus was. Paul was. All the apostles were. Throughout the whole Bible, it teaches us that you and I to be concerned about people. We're concerned about them. I'm not saying that we're to build hospitals for them and all that, but we could help. See, well, that's exactly what it's saying over there in the book of James when it says, if you go to a man and he's hungry, you just look at him and say, well, be ye warmed and filled. Go your way. Well, that man would hate you for it, wouldn't he? If you have means to relieve him, you just look at him and say, well, be ye warmed and filled. Go your way. He'd hate you. And that's the way most of us do. We go to a fella, and the first thing you know, we want to jump on him. I'm probably more guilty than any of you. I've done it numerous times. Numerous times I've jumped on a fella real quick. Not concerned about his problems, jumped on to him about his religion, pointed out to him how wrong he was, not being concerned here a little bit about himself, about his job, and about how hard he works, all those things, about his wife and his family. Not concerned about that. I'm going to correct him real quick. He wouldn't listen to me. I don't blame him. I wouldn't listen to me either. But I've profited a little from mistakes I've made, and God give me a little wisdom, and I hope that He's passed it along from me to you. Let's stand, and we'll be dismissed.